edition of Before You Bet, as producer Chris pans down the music. What is up, everybody? I am back. I was off yesterday, feeling nice and refreshed here today because we got a great big show today discussing a lot in the world of the NFL, a little college football mixed in as well, and of course some NBA as well. John Middlecoff is back as well. He'll be here in a matter of seconds. A lot to discuss in the world of the NFL. Then in the second segment of the show, John Mettler, the magic ass man, the king of the same game parlay, will be back with us. A lot going on in the NBA here tonight. Very good looking game between the Thunder and the Cavs in Cleveland. Okay, you guys know the drill. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. And if you want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know. What do you like wildcard weekend? What do you like in the NBA tonight? Darren in the live chat says, yeah, here we go now. You're damn right, Darren. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, let's get right into the action with our guy down there in Arizona, John Middlecoff. John, how's 2025 treating you so far?
I wish it was 2005. I'd have hair on my head and be a little skinnier, but 2025 is going good.
Yes, sir. We're off to a flying start here. We're flying right into wild card weekend, but we're going to rip through those games, a couple of bets that you like, but a lot of hot topics in the NFL here. Of course, off of Black Monday, we have a lot of openings here in the NFL. Six to be exact: Raiders, Jets, Jags, Bears, Saints, and Patriots. So let me ask you, what do you think the best opening is? What do you think the worst opening is?
Well, I think there's an overall theme for me with this kind of a hiring cycle. These jobs are all bad. I mean, I would say they're all at the bottom of the league. And I would include, I know the Titans have a coach, but now they have a GM. I mean, the Jets are a mess. The Bears are a mess. The Jags always lose. You know, the Patriots, even the last couple of years of Belichick. So these are not good opportunities. And it's rare great opportunities come around. We saw when LaFleur got hired with, you know, Rodgers, who could still play. But most times when you take a job, it's Dan Campbell to the Lions. So I think you have to look at it. And if you look at Dan Campbell to the Lions, it's like he had Stafford, but Stafford clearly probably wasn't going to stay, but he could use him as an asset to get a quarterback. And he got Jared Goff and it worked out. So he got a quarterback. And I think you'd have to look at the Bears and you'd have to look at the Patriots. So to me, I like Drake May, because they're both, to me, you judge them like draft prospects. They played in meaningless games. I mean, the games, they were always down. They just got throttled on a weekly basis. I mean, Caleb lost 10 straight games or whatever. So to me, it's just one of those two gigs, because you have two second-year quarterbacks on rookie, you know, second-year guys on rookie contracts. To me, Caleb makes me nervous because he holds on to the ball. But overall, like, if you do like Caleb, would totally understand. I mean, he was the number one overall pick last year. Their roster is better, and they still have, you know, they have a top 10 pick this year. The Patriots roster is pretty atrocious, but they have an even higher pick in more cap space. So I would lean the Patriots, but I guess my overall theme, I think all these jobs are just awful. I mean, there's a reason these teams fire people, like, constantly. The Raiders, the Jets, the Bears now. I mean, these are the Jags. These are turnstile gigs.
Yeah, Raiders are in a tough spot. I mean, they don't have a pick where they're going to be able to get Sanders or Ward unless they're going to trade up. And who are you going to get as a free agent? Sam Darnold, maybe. We'll discuss him here momentarily. Maybe Kirk Cousins. But
even if they take Shador Sanders, is Shador Sanders good enough to beat Herbert, Mahomes, and the Chiefs in, like, what's going on right now in Denver? I mean, the Raiders – and I was around them a lot before I moved to Arizona in the Bay Area. It's just a tough place for whatever reason. This century has been, because they've had acquired good individual players. I think they got a little cocky. We can do better than Derek Carr. And as they found out, like, no, you actually can't.
Okay, John, you know I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. Of course, I wasn't happy with how the season went. I really wasn't happy with how Tyreek Hill handled that little interview he did with the media post-game. Pretty much outright demanding a trade. Tyreek Hill's production fell off a cliff this season, under 1,000 yards since the first time since 2019, when he only played in 12 games that year. On the wrong side of 30. I thought it showed a lot of immaturity too. Like, kind of keep that to yourself. Keep that behind closed doors. The body wasn't even cold yet right after the game. Tyreek Hill, this is a guy who left the Kansas City Chiefs. Now he's not happy that he's not winning. So my question to you is what do you think Tyreek Hill could bring back in a trade?
Well, I mean, given what they gave up for him, right? A one, a two, and they broke the bank financially for him, not just once, but twice, right? They just extended his contract before the season. He makes, you know, $30 million a year. I think some of these teams are just going to short him like a stock going, because in the peak of his powers, even when he got to Miami, I think he's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. You know, his skill set, he could run like Randy Moss. Now, he wasn't tall, but he had a great catching radius. He could run every route, and obviously the ability to go deep is, I'd say, him and Randy Moss in my lifetime are the two most dominant stretch of the field guys. But the moment that starts to go and you start making, like, your production and ability start going the other way, yet your salary is super high, because it's not like you can just rework a salary to pay him, like, $18 million. So his number is massive. Let's face it, he can be a little pain, and he just proved that at the end of the year. Like, this isn't the NBA. I want out. Out where? Like, to what do you think's going on here? We just paid you. This is not really how it works. Pretty bad look for him. And listen, he's an excellent, you know, he has an excellent resume, but in terms of a team giving up anything of value for a guy making $30 million who production just fell off a cliff, not all his fault, you know, Tua missed some games, but even when Tua was in there, I think, did I read he had one catch over 60 yards and that was in game one? And after that, I don't think he had any catches over like 35 yards. So, and you had a guy that could get a 35 yard play, I would say the majority of his career, like in his sleep. I mean, it was no matter what defense he was playing. So I just think that teams would want him. But when you factor in, well, can I trade you like a 6-round pick and you eat some of the money? Like, how does this work? There are other variables at play. And let's face it, unlike the NBA as well, big names in the NFL, no one really cares, right? It's like, yeah, what have you done for me lately? How much money do you make? Like, those are the two questions. Like, this guy's really famous. It's like, cool. No one cares.
Tough spot for my Dolphins. A lot of tough spots for my Dolphins here in the near future. Okay, let's talk NFL draft. We have a new favorite to go number one overall, just slightly, but Cam Ward has overtaken Shedeur Sanders. Ward, a minus 130 favorite to go number one overall. Sanders right behind him at minus 110. Titans, Browns, Giants picking at the top of the draft, all obviously in need of a reset at the starting quarterback position. Where do you think those two guys end up?
Well, you know, I see a lot of people saying, like, will this be the first time that people pivot off, like, the quarterback inflation and don't, quote-unquote, like, overreach? It's like, I doubt it. I still think these guys end up going really high. And who knows, if the Penn State guy comes out, changes course, you know, he could be another guy that goes in the top. We could have three guys go in the top five. I do think Cam Ward definitely has more physical attributes and is way more skilled than Shedeur. I also see, like, the Browns are drafting second. Could you see Deion Sanders allowing his son to go play for the Cleveland Browns? Absolutely no shot. Like, they will, and he's even said, like, we will go Elway, Eli Manning. And I mean, I don't blame him. I wouldn't allow my son to go there as well. And you could argue, like, I actually think Tennessee. Like, I love Nashville, and it seems like players love playing there. It's no state income tax. But, like, when you look at quote-unquote branding and stuff, would these guys, you know, rather go to Vegas and New York? Obviously, if you're going to lose, you might as well be in a bigger market where you can make more money. But I don't know. I mean, I would guess, as we sit here today, Cam Ward goes number one. I think Shedeur is a big wild card. Like, could see him going two, could see him going, like, eight.
Let's talk Sam Darnold here. He's been a pretty good story throughout most of the season. Not in week 18, though. Biggest game of the season. It was his worst game of the year. So what do you think would happen if we see a scenario, the Vikings, you know, they've had this great season. Now all of a sudden they have to go on the road versus the Rams. I think maybe the moment was too big potentially for Darnold there on Sunday night against the Lions. What do you think happens if they lose and Darnold has a below average or bad game with J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings there?
Did you see them show J.J. McCarthy during that game with his long surfer hair? I wasn't super locked in. in the, like, at the moment, like, really dialing in on his body. But then I saw the slow motion clip the next day. He weighed 220 pounds at the combine. My guess is he's closer to 190 right now. He looked really, really thin. I mean, he looked like a high school kid.
Yeah.
So to me, he's not even remotely close. Now, when you're young, you know, he hasn't been able to work out because of the knee. He could probably put on 15 pounds of muscle pretty quick. I mean, metabolism's hauling, you know what. But that was like, whoa. But also, Darnold's performance was like, whoa. It was so bad that regardless of the last couple months, I was like, God, this guy's your franchise quarterback. You had to like kind of pump the brakes. You're like, you're not playing the 85 Bears here. And, you know, I think the stat was through halftime, he had already missed 8 guys over their head. And that was always the thing with Darnold. He can kind of airmail you when he gets kind of sped up. And he looked like sped up, but then he would kind of freeze. It was so bad, and I've been a pro Sam Darnold guy. I also know the way these GMs and coaches think. It's just one of those, like, we got to take a deep breath, and now it's almost like he has a 7-day window, the Lions game and the Rams game. I guess it's 8 because they play on Monday Night Football. Mm. But, like, if he has another game like that, I think that changes the money that they would be talking with him. Because at the end of the day, you're paying him – a lot of money because you think you could like compete to win the NFC. And if all of a sudden he starts playing in these bigger games with all the pressure and he just melts, at most you could probably franchise him. But the JJ body thing, I mean, that was, he didn't even look 6 months away from being a couple months away. I mean, it was like, whoa. So how, you know, your two best players, your wide receivers, your tight end, your running back, when your left tackle comes back, like your defense is good, but it's, you know, Harrison Smith is older. It's built like more of a unit in coaching. The offense is the star-studded group. How could you roll that guy out? Say one thing for Sam. Like, you know, Sam's probably 225 pounds right now. He's 27 years old. He's had an excellent season.
Yeah.
But that was – I didn't see that coming. I think – I don't know if we talked last week. I'm thrown off with all the holidays and stuff. But I thought the Lions were in trouble. And then they played the greatest defensive – effort in the blitzes. It was crazy. What a game by Aaron Glenn, huh?
Yeah, their defense needed that too, because that was like the main point against the Lions coming into the playoffs, is that, hey, their defense is getting killed. They're going to have to score 35 points in every game here. So nice bounce back by them. They get a week off, a little bit of motivation, positive momentum, I should say, going into the playoffs. So we know who the big favorites are. Going into the playoffs, it's pretty easy to make a case for any of these top seeds here. But if you need to pick a sleeper team to go on a little bit of a run, which team would you go with?
Well, I think you would go with the Bucs because they get a home game, right? And we saw last year, now the Eagles were in shambles, but it's, you know, everyone's picking the Chargers. Like, it's a big advantage having the home game if you're the Houston Texans. We saw last year, everyone picked the Browns, and what happens? So you get a home game. Well, they have a quarterback who has played excellent. And all of a sudden, you can play the Commanders. So it's like you win a game, you gain momentum, your quarterback's throwing 40 touchdowns. And then the following week, it's like no one's really picking you, and you have been playing meaningful football down the stretch. You have a Hall of Fame wide receiver. You have some pieces on defense. Well, I mean, we'll see if Winfield can ever come back. And you just have a quarterback who we saw last year in the playoffs, you know, go toe-to-toe in that Lions game in the second round. So I think the Bucs are a team, you know, to me, I always look at like that kind of 3-4. The difference is in the AFC, you know, it's pretty clear. It's like three teams and everybody else. In the NFC, it's like obviously the Lions are the one seed, but just a week ago, they couldn't stop Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, and Ricky Pearsall to save their life. So the defense is still missing guys. It makes you nervous, and they just lost their first round pick, you know, in the game on Sunday night. Obviously, the Eagles, as of recording this, I haven't seen any updated news. Their quarterback has had a concussion for like 3 weeks, and to me, the NFC is pretty wide open. I would pick the Eagles and the Lions, but like I fully expect to see some iteration of Chiefs, Bills, Ravens in the. You could convince me of a lot of different matchups in the NFC. So like. I wish I could pick the Rams, but like the way the Rams played down the stretch, unlike last year, was kind of the polar. You remove that Bills game, they looked. I know they won games, but man, they did not look good. Unlike last year, where they were kind of humming down the stretch.
Bucks outright wins over both the Lions and the Eagles during the regular season this season. They also beat the Eagles in the playoffs last year as well. So some pretty good experience for big games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What would you guess? Let's say, you know, Jalen comes back, Eagles handle business, Bucks handle business. Are the Bucks like a 6-point underdog in that second round at Philly?
I was going to say around 5.5 or so, probably.
Definitely well over a field goal, right?
Yeah, over a field goal, under 7. I think that's fair to say. Okay, so I always email you before you come on and you submit your best bets to us. I didn't know how many you were going to submit here. It's usually 3 during the regular season when we have, you know, 12 to 16 games to choose from. 6 games this weekend, and you're giving us 4 picks, 4 games that you feel strongly about, 1 that you feel really strongly about. But let's go in order of the games here. You like the Texans as the home underdog here against the Chargers.
Well, I just think taking the points, it's just one of those things. Everyone's picking the Chargers, and I get they got J.K. Dobbins back, and they just look a little bit more well-rounded on offense when they can run the ball with him. But they are not some team like the Ravens or the Bills that just, if it's all humming, are going to put up 40 points. And listen, I think everyone's really down on the Texans because the expectations were so high. But having the home game, and listen, I love Jim Harbaugh, but I think D'Amico's a really, really good coach, and they're very dependent on like Quentin Johnson, you know, to make plays, and a rookie wide receiver. Like, this is the playoffs. It's why a lot of people are going to hammer the Bills against a rookie quarterback. It's, you know, same thing with Jaden Daniels. It's really hard for young players, and, you know, they're great strength. You know, Khalil Mack had an excellent season in both of the edge pressure. Where you can really get the Texans is up the middle. So if you told me that like Khalil Mack, his name was Fletcher Cox, or, you know, he was a defensive tackle of Chris Jones, I'd be like, that's an awful matchup for the Texans. But they get crushed because their guards can't block me or you. I could just see this game being closer. Now, I'm not saying the Chargers are going to lose, but it wouldn't shock me if it's like, you know, 19-17 win for the Chargers. Like, that's kind of a Jim Harbaugh special, especially with the way this team is built. Like, this is the worst version of the Chargers over the next 3 years. This is going to be his worst team. That's big picture. If I'm a Charger fan, I'm feeling good. Because, like, win or lose, we're not winning the Super Bowl, but we are going to be so much better in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, that's my view of them, too. Wait till they add a couple more skill players to that offense, right? I like the under in that game, by the way, on Saturday. Okay,
wait, so if you like the under, it's more likely that it's going to be a lower scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so next up we have the Ravens, Steelers. Ravens absolutely humming coming into this game. Their defense has really turned a corner. Meanwhile, the Steelers' offense has completely fallen off of a cliff, and you responded, Ravens, big in capital letters. You like them -9.5 here.
Anyone who's been gambling long enough knows that sometimes this kind of makes you a little uneasy because it almost feels too easy, right? Mm-hmm. The team that we have witnessed coming down the stretch, I thought one of the easiest bets of the year were that 4-day stretch where they played the Chiefs and they played the Ravens and they just got smashed. You know, I kind of liked them, the Steelers against the Eagles. That's when everything changed for me. And then if you watch them down the stretch, even whatever week 18 against the Bengals, like that was a 19-7 game going into the fourth quarter. That was not close. Now the Zay Flowers injury is very unfortunate, but this Steelers team is not good right now. Their secondary guys are wide open. If their defensive line doesn't just thoroughly dominate, they really have no chance to even keep it close because offensively they're broken. They hand the ball to Najee Harris. It feels like way too much. Russell's just go routes or nothing else. And I also think one thing that is concerning with Russell specifically, as the weather turned and it got really, really cold, he's looked like a different guy. And you'd be like, well, George Pickens dropped balls. Well, that's also a problem. They take a lot of flyers on some questionable character guys, and they've hit on a lot of them. I mean, Antonio Brown turned into a Hall of Famer for them. This guy is not Antonio Brown as a player. And that effort the other night, you know, in a big game, and they took that thing really seriously, was pretty embarrassing for Pickens. You know, I mean, they are depending on him, you know, to be their Ja'Marr Chase, to be their Zay Flowers, all these other guys are their Pro Bowlers, and this guy, you're like, is he even what's going on? And it's just, it's unraveled, and it's unraveled fast. So back-to-back years, think about this. They have not played the Chiefs 2 years in a row, who have won back-to-back Super Bowls. Yet they, I just saw on DraftKings, it's like 9.5. But, you know, the number's 9.5, 10. They're basically double-digit favorites against the next tier of the Bills and the Ravens.
Yeah.
If I'm crazy, and it's like, well, the Chiefs are in a different universe, and we saw them play a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not even in the same world as the next tier of teams that are giving everything they have just to try to compete with the Chiefs. Conversation about Tomlin. No one thinks he stinks, mm-hmm. but Reed, isn't it just time for a change? You could trade him. Just trade him to the Bears. Go after Ben Johnson. Like, take a swing for the fences, because what you're doing, it's like, yeah, you're never going to lose. You're never going to be the Titans or the Raiders. No one thinks mm-hmm. that's the point. But you're never going to win either. Like, there's no – you're double-digit favorites 2 years in a row to the second tier of teams.
Yeah, just good enough to sneak into the playoffs. You know, the team's going to make money, keep their fans – you know, give their fans one playoff game, I guess. But
I'd rather bottom out for a year.
Oh, yeah. Land somewhere near the top of the draft, maybe get a player you could build around a quarterback, which is something that they need, you know, because it looks like what are they going to do a quarterback next year, right?
Well, they're so it's already like Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin going to team up. It's like, oh, my God.
Hey, I'd love to see it. Okay, next up, I think potentially the most entertaining game of the week here, if the total is any indication, it is the highest total of the week. It's at 50.5 here between the Commanders and the Bucs, and you like the Bucs to cover as a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I think if you just have a rule, rookie quarterbacks on the road, playoffs, like both guys have had, it's been admirable, especially Jaden, who's blown everyone away. I mean, it was like Caleb's the greatest prospect ever since Luck and Peyton Manning and Elway combined. And then this other guy was kind of an afterthought, and there's not a soul alive that would take Caleb Williams today over Jaden Daniels. But I do think this is another level. Now, the one thing they get going for them is, like, when you go to some of these places, like a Philly, you know, a Lambeau, a Buffalo, those are tough, Baltimore, tough home field. You know, you're at a disadvantage as a road. I would say Tampa toward the bottom, just in terms of, like, intimidating venues. But I do think the Bucs were kind of in a weird spot last week against the Saints, who are terrible. And they were just playing a little weird. And then they kind of got their mojo at the end. And I would expect, like, to me, this has a feel like 28-17 or something, you know, where it's close a large portion of the game. And then you look up and they win by double digits. I think Baker could have a field day.
With the Monday Night Football game, bit of a tricky game here. It's kind of hard not to be a prisoner of the moment with the Minnesota Vikings. They were absolutely flying going into the game against the Lions, and we saw what happened there. Meanwhile, you have the Rams, who are winning games, I guess, but it's not pretty. You know, I think a lot of people look at the Rams and think this high-flying, high-scoring team. That hasn't really been the case. However, they were that way kind of against the Vikings earlier in the season. They scored 30 points against them when they played in a Thursday Night Football game. So we have the road team. The Vikings are favored by 1.5, but you like the home dog. You like the Rams to cover here.
Well, I think we saw the matchup earlier. You know, McVay versus one of his proteges. So he's comfortable playing him. You know, defensively, one advantage, you know, the Rams have a lot of younger defensive players, is I think Kevin O'Connell, you know, sometimes like all the Shanahan, McVay guys have all gone off. Some of them are more similar to Sean, and some of them are more similar to Kyle. You know, LaFleur likes to run the football. He's much more of a Kyle disciple. Same thing with McDaniel. Like, deep down, they want to get rid of the ball fast and run the ball. Kevin O'Connell likes throwing the ball. And deep down, Sean McVay, since he's got Matt Stafford, like, they got more Andy Reid in them. So they're very comfortable seeing that. And I thought, you know, that I think it was a Thursday night game, right, this year when they played, it was a big advantage for Shula, who's McVay's new defensive coordinator. I also, like, I don't love the Rams, but I do believe there's just value here of people just kind of being low on the Rams. And I know the Vikings lost, but everyone thinks the Vikings are just better than the Rams. I don't think there's that much of a difference. And I think there's just a human element of, you know, confidence is something I don't care what you do, whether you play football, whether you play golf, whether you're a podcaster, whether you're whatever industry you're in, can take a while to build up. And once you got it, you can feel really strong about it. But once it goes, you can start questioning, like, will it come back? And you have to wonder if that moment in front of all those people with so much on the line had to rattle Sam Darnold a little bit. And the one thing Kevin O'Connell treats Sam Darnold, and I give him a lot of credit for this, he treats him like a top five quarterback. Like, they throw it on big downs. He is not hide from him. And you watch the Dolphins and you watch some of these teams that might have like a quote unquote max quarterback, but you can tell the coach's play calling, he's hesitant to put it all on his shoulders. And that is not how they've treated Sam Darnold. And I don't expect that to change, you know, because Kevin, like Sean, they're just aggressive play callers. So it's like, if you're leaning on him, because that's kind of the way he coaches, if he's not playing well, I think most people sitting there watching Kevin O'Connell against the Lions, like, Kevin, you keep, like, this isn't working. Try something different. Try like a screen. Try run a sweep. Do something a little easier. You're running these, like, you know, spreading it out at the 5-yard line. He's seeing ghosts again. But I think once you're like, he just coaches like he coaches. And same thing with Sean McVay. Like, when Stafford's playing bad, it's not like McVay changes. Like, they keep throwing the ball. It's like, Sean, he is hitting the other team in the hands. Luckily, their DBs, not wide receivers. So I know everyone loves Kevin O'Connell. To me, McVay's better. Again, home game, big advantage not having to travel. I do think that was such just a gut-wrenching loss. You know, I know the final score was pretty ugly, but it was like they were going blow for blow. It was tight. And then your whole season just gets away from you in the second half. It's that a lot of pressure on the coaching staff. Flores is good. I don't expect this to be like the score to look like the Lions game, but I could see it being, again, if it's close, you know, 21-17 or something, Rams.
Yeah, it's a really tough bounce back spot for Sam Darnold coming off his worst game of the season. Now you need to go right into the playoffs on the road again. Now it's not the same environment at Los Angeles compared to Detroit, but yeah, it will be a tricky spot for him.
What was your take on McVay just punting and not even caring about the seeding and just saying, it's the playoffs, we got to play who we got to play no matter what?
I guess he's putting the playoffs first, I guess. So I don't know, man. Every coach has a different philosophy, right? Like we saw with Dan Campbell in that Week 17 game against the 49ers. He put a lot on the line, right?
Yeah.
And it's, hey, we want to win. We saw the Chargers go off, and they kept their foot on the gas against the Raiders last week too. So we'll see here. It is a more difficult matchup for them, that's for sure. So we'll see.
There's no right or wrong way to do it. You just, you know, it's pretty clear, like Baltimore – it's like, guys, you could probably win this game with your eyes closed. And then all of a sudden, you know, one of your best players on offense gets hurt. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot for sure. So let's end with this here, John. So college football playoffs semis in the playoffs get underway tomorrow night. I asked you, what is your favorite bet out of the two games? And you like Penn State to get over the hump here in a big game. You're going to take them on the money line.
Yeah, I just think taking Penn State is by far the best value. You know, I mean, Ohio State's a big favorite, and rightfully so. Though, you know, that game is outside at the Cotton Bowl, and the weather is not great, so that could neutralize that game a little bit. Though Ohio State, you know, used to playing in cold weather games. I just think, like, to me, Penn State and Notre Dame are very, very similar teams. I just think Penn State has a better quarterback, and there is a rest advantage. We talk about this all the time in the NFL. Because of the terrorist attack in New Orleans, the game got pushed back an extra day. Penn State had already played the early game the previous day. So even if the game had gone off as normal, they would have had a 24-hour advantage. They end up getting a 48-hour advantage. And I just think that's pretty big. Now, you know, one of the best players, if not, I don't know, the best player in the country. College is not like the NFL, so it's very cloak and dagger. We don't know about Abdul Carter's, you know, status. But even if he can't play, you know, Notre Dame lost one of their defensive linemen against Indiana. So, you know, attrition is a huge part of these college football playoffs. But when I just look at very similar teams, big-time defenses with a bunch of guys that are going to be NFL players, I'm just taking the team with the better quarterback. And Big Game James, a lot of people, you know, he hasn't won many big games in his career. Even the two biggest games of his life that he's won these last two games, people are like, well, look at his schedule. This would be one of his best wins. It's not like Marcus Freeman, you know, is Kirby Smart or Nick Saban, though the Georgia game was really impressive, but he has to win it. Like, I just don't think their offense is as good as Penn State's. They have the best tight end in the country who's been incredible in this playoffs. And now that they're playing in these dome or nice weather environments, it's much easier for him and Aller to go off. And I think their run game, I mean, Love, the running back for Notre Dame, got hurt in the last game, tweaked his knee. So, and he had already been injured coming into the playoffs. Luckily, he got healthy and he bust that big run against Indiana. But I think this line's a little off. Like, to me, even if I had, it's not like I root for Penn State. I would have just made Penn State a favorite. Now, maybe there's just the element of like, they're like the Lakers, the Cowboys, the Yankees, right? They're such a very bigger brand than Penn State. So
yeah,
do it that way to get the bets. But I just think Penn State's a better team.
A little off topic here. I don't know if you watch a lot of TV. Did you happen to see Jerry Jones's cameo on the show Landman? It's making the rounds on social media. I like that show. I've been watching every single episode of it. Jerry Jones, a cameo of himself. Now, he's played him. I remember he played himself on Entourage. He had a pretty good cameo on that. I think he's done a couple other spots as well. I was blown away by that. I'm not against Jerry Jones. I'm not necessarily a big fan of his, but he was. Did this role with tears in his eyes. He was playing himself. But that was pretty impressive, wouldn't you say?
Saturday night, I think sometimes on the app, you know, the new episodes come out Sunday, but it comes out, you know, Sunday morning Eastern. So we were in bed at like 9 or 10:30, and I was like, well, they had new episodes out. So I watched it. And all of a sudden, halfway through, I look at Maria. I'm like, is this really happening? I mean, he's in tears. He is owning the screen with John Hamm and Billy Bob Thornton. It was honestly, I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I hope it is because he was really believable. So I have to take it like part of the reason he bought the Cowboys, he knew he could keep his family close. Cause I don't think you could fake that emotion. You can't watch that and go, that was a really powerful scene. I don't even have children yet, but like it was a very relatable scene, even coming from a guy that's a billionaire. I wonder if he was truly speaking from the heart there. And that's why he wasn't really quote unquote acting, cause he was talking about his family that. Say this, you turn on a Cowboy game, who's always sitting there? His two sons and his daughter's right behind him, and his grandkids are always stacked. Like, I don't think he's lying about that.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of truth in what he was saying there, and did truly hit home with him during that scene. I wonder how many takes it took to do that, but I was very impressed it came out of nowhere.
If he did it in one, it's one of the more impressive performances in the history of television, isn't it?
Yeah, that was really good. He was on Entourage. He did a scene with that. There was a storyline of Ari was trying to get the NFL to come to Los Angeles. This is how old Entourage is now. And Jerry Jones was involved in the talks. And he was pretty good on that, too. So a hidden talent, I guess you could say, for Jerry Jones. But let's leave it at that for today, John. We're going to have a lot to discuss next week. We're going to have a fresh round of playoff games. We're going to have a college football national championship game to discuss. Probably some head coaches getting hired as well. So best of luck with all those bets. Enjoy the games, and we'll catch you again next week.
Yeah, have a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. All right, the man right there. We have about 1,500 people watching live now. The majority of you guys watching on X. A nice chunk on YouTube as well. Hit up that chat, guys. What do you like in the NBA tonight? What is your favorite bet for a wild card weekend in the NFL? We will read a few off throughout the course of the show. Okay, let's talk a little NBA. And if we're talking NBA, we are talking NBA with the Magic Ass Man, John Mettler. Let's bring him in. Looking fantastic today, per usual. John, how you making out?
Way better, because while you're talking to Milikov, Paolo Banchero is back at practice for the Orlando Magic. He's missed a long time, so he's obviously factor that in next time they play because he's conditioning, so he's ready to go apparently. So
let's
like
go
that.
Magic. Okay, so we got a big game tonight. I have a bet for Thunder in Cleveland taking on the Cavaliers. If you take a look at the NBA standings right now, the Cavaliers have a 5-game lead on the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. The OKC Thunder have a 6.5-game lead at top of the Western Conference over the Houston Rockets are in second place in the West. Who had that? But let me ask you, if you ask a lot of people, probably aren't going to be picking the Cavaliers to represent the Eastern Conference here in the NBA Finals. And even if you look at the odds, they are behind the Celtics and the Knicks to win the Finals, to win the Eastern Conference. They're plus 475. Odds vary by sportsbook, of course, behind the Celtics and the Knicks. Are we sleeping on the Cavaliers, or do you think this is a classic case? We see it all the time in the NBA, a great regular season team, maybe not built for the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like that was our take at the beginning of the year. But like the more you watch them, they kind of are starting to remind me, if we go way back to that Pistons team that won the championship, where it's like they just kept them together and they kept winning 50 games, and the defense was really strong. And then eventually like that continuity just played out and it worked out for them. And the Cavs feel like they're in that spot where they've kept them together. Like even there's rumors, like, does Donovan Mitchell want to leave? Should they trade Darius Garland? They just haven't. And it feels like it's starting to like really work them. I think the most underrated player on their team is Dean Wade. He is like, when it comes to like role players, just knocking down threes, playing good defense, playing along those, like alongside Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, they just have a bunch of guys who are filling in roles and they're really, really strong. It's just, I feel like the Celtics, it's tough. The Celtics obviously have that championship pedigree. If you're looking at like betting odds and price, I would lean Cavaliers. But like when you come down to a playoff series, if it was Celtics Cavs, you kind of like obviously you like the Celtics a little bit better. I do feel like the Celtics are very vulnerable to one injury. If like one guy goes down, like Porzingis, Brown, Tatum, one person, I don't think the Cavs are as vulnerable to that. They have a lot of guys on their bench, Caris LeVert, even Ty Jerome plays really good basketball for them. So I feel like if I was to place a bet, I'd probably bet on the Cavs based on the price. Do like the Celtics a little better, but yeah, I mean, they're a really good team.
Yeah, I believe six different players scoring in double digits here for the Cavaliers. And yeah, there's something to be said about continuity. Like in the NBA, like these teams having dramatic overhauls from year to year. Sometimes a team just needs to learn how to win in the playoffs. It's not always automatic for every team, right? So who knows? Maybe that will be the case here for the Cavaliers. I wouldn't mind seeing some new blood here make a deep playoff run in the Eastern Conference. Too much Boston Celtics. So let's get into these picks here. You got some props. I got some spreads and a total. Get us started with a prop here. Bulls, Pacers, high total for this one. I believe it's in the 240s. And you like something for Kobe White.
Yeah, when Kobe White over 4.5 assists and it's plus 130. That was available before we came on. Hopefully it's still there. I put a meaning up on the graphic, meaningful game for the Bulls. You're probably wondering, like, it's January. How do the Bulls have a meaningful game? But they're playing the Pacers, and those are two teams like they're basically battling for in the, you know, if you're looking at like the play-in or the back end of the Eastern Conference, it is kind of a meaningful game for them. And you're always just kind of looking for spots where will someone play more minutes than they typically do? And I feel like because it's a matchup against the Pacers, they could, and there's no Ayo Dosunmu, he's out. You look at this, and like the Pacers have one good wing defender. That's Andrew Nembhard, and Nembhard should be on Zach LaVine. So then that should push usage to someone else, and I think that's Kobe White. And Kobe White's probably going to be guarded by Haliburton, Mathurin. Those are going to be his matchups. He should be able to get in the lane pretty much at will. I mean, he's one of the fastest players in the NBA to begin with. And once he's in there, he's just like dishing out potential assists to a ton of offensive players. So I think there's opportunity for more minutes for him tonight when you're looking at matchups and stuff like that. And you know, them playing the Pacers, I just, you know, 4.5 plus 130, that seems like really like a long price for Kobe White. So give me the over on Kobe White.
Okay, game of the night, Thunder in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. And I am going to go with the Thunder. Plus 2.5 here. Great timing by producer Chris to bring up the pick graphic there. So I don't know if you've been watching much NBA here lately, but the OKC Thunder are playing at an elite level versus elite competition. Check them out. So their last five games, all wins and covers versus the Celtics, Knicks, Clippers, T-Wolves, and Grizzlies. Two of those teams, at least, the Celtics and Knicks, are really good. The other three teams are good to pretty good. I think that's fair to say. Number two in net rating across these five games versus that level of competition. The Thunder do all the small things better on defense. They're forcing more turnovers, allowing fewer offensive rebounds, elite at limiting fast break points and points in the paint. And another really big one here on defense, a pretty notable gap in three-point defense between the teams first versus 14th and opponent. Three-point shooting percentage over the last 10 games. Give me the Thunder in the game of the night tonight in Cleveland. And next up, I feel like we've been hearing this name a lot on the show here over the last week or so. Tim Hardaway Jr. You like him tonight?
Yeah, Timmy, cash and SGP for us. Coming back, I'm really surprised because he scored 26 points in that game, and we had the total was 11.5, and today it's just 12.5. So I did bet this 12.5 minus 106. It jumped to 13.5. It was about minus 105. One sportsbook has pushed back down to 12.5 minus 110. So make sure you shop around. 13.5 minus 105, I still would bet that as well. The projection's pretty far over that. And it's pretty much the same thing. You're just kind of going to keep playing this until it adjusts or there's like a really bad matchup. But it's not a bad matchup. He's playing the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are very injured. Like Cam Johnson's out. He's a good defender. He's a good wing defender. So he's gone. Dorian Finney-Smith, they traded him. He's gone. They don't really have much defenders left. Probably the only guy is Ben Simmons. He's questionable. Will he play? Who knows? But Ben Simmons would probably be on Cade Cunningham. That feels like a matchup that makes sense. So like, once again, it's like the Pistons need scoring. They need someone to shoot the ball. There's no Jaden Ivey and there's not really good defenders elsewhere on the floor guarding him. So I think it's just a matchup he can take care of, and he's playing 30 plus minutes like the last five games, and the Pistons are 5-0. So there's no reason to think that he wouldn't play 30 plus again tonight. And I think they're an 8.5 point favorite against the Nets. So like, this is a game JB Bickerstaff probably wants to have. So once again, I feel like you could probably push minutes of the starters once again. So give me the over, Tim Hardaway Jr. Until they adjust this more, I'm going to keep playing the over.
Okay. Cavs Thunder should be a pretty competitive game tonight. Raptors Knicks. That is not the case. I'm going to take the Knicks as a big favorite here, minus 11.5. I think this is a really good get right spot for the Knicks. There are no situation where they can be playing down to the Toronto Raptors tonight because they've lost three straight games. They've been back at home since Sunday. They're off tomorrow. There's no excuse not to keep their foot firmly on the gas here tonight. Six versus dead last in net rating between these two teams over the last 10 games. And New York is that they do not play down to the competition. You do see this with teams like the Lakers when they're a big favorite. Not the case here for the Knicks. 5-1 ATS run as a double-digit favorite at home. That one loss did come to John's Orlando Magic, where they also lost the game outright. However, they're winning by a lot of large margins here lately. Beat the Jazz by 16, Wizards by 20, the Magic in another game by 23. And I go back a couple of weeks, they have a 14-point win over the Toronto Raptors. It's getting really bad here for the Raptors. People were calling this the perfect tank earlier in the season. They were losing a lot of games, but they were covering a lot of spreads, right? People are saying it's a perfect tank because they're being competitive, still losing, end up in a good spot in the draft. But things are getting really bad here for Toronto. Their last six losses have come by an average of 26.5 points. 26.5. Worst defensive team in the NBA right now. Too many advantages to name for the Knicks. I hope I have you convinced. Let's go Knicks. Minus 11.5. Great bounce back spot for them. And Spurs, Bucks, battle of a couple international big men here. I have a pick on the total. You have a prop for one of those big men. Giannis, what do you like?
Yeah, I went Giannis and Antetokounmpo over 5.5 assists. So I put minus 110. I know this has moved since we've made this graphic because Chris Middleton, they announced he's back. He's going to play, but he's actually moving out of the starting lineup. So I think this has jumped to like minus 125, minus 130. Break even high was minus 160. So it's still playing. Obviously, my break even was with Middleton in the starting lineup. So there's that factors that too. So when you're looking at this, when he's playing the Spurs and like the matchup, Jeremy Sochan would typically be his primary defender. And Jeremy Sochan, I think he has like an 8-foot wingspan. Like he is the perfect defender for Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he's out. So then you have to look at this. You're like, who's guarding Giannis on the Spurs? Because Wembanyama's probably not his primary defender. So then is it Harrison Barnes? Like they don't really have another guy who can guard Giannis. So they're going to have to guard him as a team, a lot of help. And because it's going to be such a bad mismatch with whoever's the primary defender, I think Wembanyama is going to shade a lot towards him as a help defender. And this is why I like the assist, because Giannis should, you know, Wemby's going to force him to pass, but Giannis should also be passing away from Wembanyama. Wembanyama is a nightmare when you're betting like a guard over their assist because they're passing it into his defense and like breaking up lobs or shots around the rim. But all of Giannis's assists go away. It's going out to three-point shooters. So that's why I think this matchup really plays. If Jeremy Sochan was in, I wouldn't like this because I think Sochan could do a pretty good job one-on-one. But with Sochan out and this sitting at 5.5, give me the over for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, last pick of the show today. Let's stick in this game, and I'm going to take the under 225 for this one. Two great defensive teams here lately, second and third in defensive rating over the last 10 games. Spurs are number one in opponent effective field goal shooting percentage. Bucks forcing a lot of turnovers. On the offensive side of the ball, nothing really too impressive for either of these teams, each average or below average. I think that's fair to say. The Spurs' three-point shooting has been really bad, though, actually. 26 in three-point shooting percentage over the last 10 games. And I love this stat. Do not expect a lot of action at the free throw line. Bucks are 29th in free throw attempts over the last 10 games. Spurs number one in free throw attempts allowed. The Spurs don't get to the line a lot either themselves. So I think we're going to have a lower scoring game under 225. Okay, I just saw an alert come through on my phone. Tom Brady trying to get Bill Belichick to reconsider that job he took at UNC. Wouldn't that make total sense for Bill Belichick to go back on that, and then all of a sudden he's coaching the Raiders, which isn't a good job at all with the lack of a quarterback there, but I could see it. Don't you think? I could see it. It's a $10 million buyout. That's nothing for Mark Davis, right?
I'm pretty well, I think he has, doesn't he have issues with finance? Anyways, I'm pretty sure there was something worked into Belichick's contract that he could get out of the North Carolina thing. And people thought, he might be doing the signing with North Carolina to almost create more panic for NFL teams to, like, go get him, right? Like, hey, I'm not just available. I'm not just going to do interviews. I'm coaching someone else. So if you want me, like, it's the pressure's kind of on. So I don't know. That'd be so weird. I feel like he's got to stay at North Carolina. That would be such a bad look.
Six job openings in the NFL right now. And you're seeing guys like Rex Ryan getting job interviews, right? So his bio prior to July 2025 is a nominal at best. Hilarious. That's from Bobby Newport. Yeah, I don't know, man. Bill Belichick, you got to go to a place that has a quarterback. I think the Patriots job is the best one available with Drake May and an owner who would be committed to probably stay out of the way a little bit. All these teams are easy to make fun of. I think the Saints and the Raiders are probably the worst ones given the quarterback situations for those two teams.
Everyone was saying, why does he want to coach college? I'd rather coach college than go coach the Raiders and not have a quarterback. Or, like, in college, it's going to be pretty easy for him to get some players. And even at your North Carolina, like 9-3, 8-4 is, like, good, right? Like, they're going to be happy with that. So,
yeah, it's the expectation. If he goes to the Raiders and they go 4-13, or it's going to be a complete and total embarrassment, and he probably wouldn't be able to come back for a second season. So, yeah, that will be an interesting, yeah. So that's going to dominate your news cycles all afternoon if you're on social media. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. Okay, let's leave it at that. Big show coming up tomorrow. Both Brad Powers and Jake Butt will be here to get into these college football semifinal games. John Mettler is going to be back to get into the NBA with me as well. So thank you to both Johns for joining today. Thank you to producer Chris. Did a fantastic job filling in for Mick today. Big shout out to BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And most of all, thank you to all the great viewers for tuning in, especially the guys and the gals maybe who participated in the live chat of the show today. Best of luck with all your bets tonight. We will catch you guys again tomorrow. Let's go, OKC Thunder!